We turn in sacred scripture to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. The Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, has many things to say about the truth and the lie, about the mouth of God's people as a well of life, the mouth of the wicked as a source of violence. Here we pick out just one section from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 26, beginning at verse 18. Proverbs 26, beginning at verse 18. As a madman, children, that means as a crazy man, one who is not in his right mind, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, gossiper, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Dissembleth means to pretend, to act like someone you're not, to be deceptive. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Seven, the number of perfection or completeness. There are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So far we read the word of the Lord. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture, and on the basis of many passages, that we have the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism, as it's found in Lord's Day 43, found on page 24 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 43. What is required in the ninth commandment? That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter, nor slanderer, that I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to these words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you realize how humbling those words are? What kind of language comes out of your mouth? Perhaps even already this morning, or at least in the last few days, what kind of language has come out of your mouth? Did you speak with violence to a family member? Did you put someone down with your words? Or speak badly about someone else, attacking their reputation and good character? There is reason for us to pause and ask ourselves, when I spoke those words, what was that revealing about my heart? Beloved congregation, listen to these words. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Again, what's coming out of your mouth? That which is good, that which builds up and edifies, that which gives life, or that which kills and destroys? It's striking. In the immediately following verse, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I tell you to do?" Beloved congregation, listen to just one more passage. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, a fountain of life. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Is your mouth a fountain of life, giving strength and refreshment and encouragement to those around you? Or is your mouth characterized by violence? What effect do your words have on those around you? Do your words tear down and destroy, cut through the heart with a knife? Or do they build up and give life? Young people, young adults, I want to speak directly to you. Right now, you are developing habits of speech. What tone of voice do you use when you speak to your own mother? What tone of voice do you use when you speak to your brother or sister? Is it condescending? Full of cutting sarcasm? Is it yelling? Do you belittle others in order to make them feel stupid? Oh yes, maybe in church, maybe out in public, we are able to speak smooth and gentle words. But in the privacy of my own home, what does it look like? Violence, anger, bitterness, deception? James writes in James chapter 3, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing." And then he writes, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." The reality is, you allow yourself to talk that way, and soon enough, your language becomes worse. You start using those four-letter words without thinking about it. And then it's not just the words, it's the thoughts that start to govern and control your attitudes. They begin to shape who you are. You become a man of violence or a woman of violence. You become grumpy all the time. You become a filthy man. You become proud. In a word, you become evil. Because all the while, it wasn't just something wrong about your speech. There was something going on in your heart. Because that's where it comes from. You were giving place to evil in your heart. It's what is going on in the heart that explains why we use the tone that we use and why we choose the words that we use. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. I say to all of us this morning, is that not humbling? Is that not humbling? Well, here we are this morning confronted with the ninth commandment. And what the ninth commandment teaches us is encouraging. Because what the ninth commandment teaches us is that when God saves His people, He doesn't just save their bodies, He saves their mouths. And He sanctifies their speech and their conversation. In salvation, He gives His people a new heart, so that out of that new heart proceeds conversation that is holy, communication that is pure. And here in the ninth commandment, God addresses our communication. And in this commandment, God says, your heart has been renewed, has it not, if you're a child of God? Your mouth has been washed clean with the blood of Jesus Christ, not just with soap. Maybe you children have had that. Maybe your parents wash out your mouth with soap. That doesn't get your mouth clean. But you've been cleansed with the shed blood of Christ. Your mouth has been washed clean, set free from the bondage of sin and from the filth of murder and the filth of the lie. You have been transformed by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit so that your mouth can now be an instrument of God for good, to bless, to speak words that build up and minister grace to the hearers so that you can be a faithful witness of God's grace and God's glory. Now, God says, use your mouth accordingly. And here in Lord's Day 43, the Catechism explains how we are to use our mouths. Ultimately, we can put it this way. That sounds familiar. Are you thankful? You know who your God is. You know the gospel. We've gone through it. He saved you from death and hell. He's atoned for all your sins through His shed blood on the cross. He's regenerated you, given you new life. It's all of His grace. You deserve nothing but the opposite. He's given you a full and free salvation. Are you thankful? Well, the true Christian is thankful. And that thankfulness will express itself this way. The Christian turns from his sin. He forsakes his sin. And he uses his mouth to speak the truth, to defend his neighbor, and do good and not evil. We take as our theme the hate-filled sin of lying. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, the sin. Second, the hatred that characterizes it. And third, the required speech. The ninth commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And if you simply look at that language, you'll recognize that it's talking about bearing witness in a court of law. That's really the context of those words, to speak truth in a courtroom. And what you see throughout the Ten Commandments is that each commandment often gives us the worst example of sinning in some way. Often that's what happens. The Ten Commandments don't speak about anger. They speak about murder. They don't speak about lusting. They speak about committing adultery. Those other things are certainly included, but they speak often about the worst form of the sin. And here too in the ninth commandment, God picks out what is perhaps the worst way of lying, the worst way of using evil communication, bearing false witness in a court of law. In the Old Testament days, eyewitnesses were everything. And today, witnesses are still important, but today we have DNA testing, we have fingerprints, we have video, audio recordings. In the ancient world, they didn't have those kinds of things. All they had, for the most part, was witnesses. And if someone stood up to accuse a person of wrongdoing, and someone else stood up and said the same thing, that person who they were accusing was in jeopardy of losing his life, perhaps. Think of what happened to Naboth, godly Naboth with his vineyard. Wicked Jezebel hired false witnesses to say that Naboth blasphemed the name of the Lord and of the king, and he was stoned, put to death. Think of what happened to Joseph, who spent years in prison because Potiphar's wife slandered and bore false witness against him. Think also of Jesus' experience when false witnesses were sought out to try to find an accusation against him so that they could put him to death. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine standing up in a court of law and tell a lie about someone, knowing full well that that person might not just be put to prison, but be put to death because of your lies? That's wickedness. That's an evil heart right there. Can you imagine standing up in front of all the elders of church, telling them a lie, and insisting before them that what you're saying is the truth, even though you know full well it's a lie, and you are adamant and adamant that what you're saying is the truth, and eventually the elders find out it's the lie indeed? That's wickedness, beloved. That's an evil heart. And now imagine being the person who's being falsely accused. You have nothing to defend yourself except your own word that what you're saying is true. And you perhaps are about to lose everything. Your life, your job, your property, your family, perhaps your life. Because someone's bearing false witness against you. And you can't really do anything about it. What happens when people bear false witness is that the very foundations of society are being destroyed. A society, a community can't even function. It falls into anarchy. There's no peace because there is no truth and there is no justice. How thankful we can be, beloved, that whatever false witnesses rise up against us here on earth, we have one in heaven who is a faithful and true witness. He knows the truth and He will judge righteously according to truth. That's comforting for each one of God's children. Well, bearing false witness is perhaps the most egregious way of breaking the ninth commandment. But there's more included in this commandment than just courtroom infractions. This commandment deals with all sorts of falsehoods. The Catechism mentions some of those things. That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words. That's talking about twisting someone else's words. Putting consciously, deliberately, your own spin on the words that they used so that you can manipulate them and deceive everyone. Take out a few words here, add a few words there, ignore the main message that is given, and give the words an entirely different meaning. And you simply do it to attack. You do it out of hatred, twisting their words, falsifying their words for your own profit. And we say, but you said this. The other person says, no, that's not what I said. That's not what I meant. You're twisting my words. And I think we all understand how not only frustrating that is, but how evil that is. Manipulating words comes from a heart that is evil, not characterized by honesty. The Catechism goes on, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer. A slanderer is one who speaks lies. He speaks lies to attack someone. A backbiter is different because a backbiter speaks the truth, but he speaks the truth for the same purpose, to attack someone. He spreads gossip. He spreads secrets that should be kept secrets. He brings up sins perhaps from 20 years ago that should have been long put away. And why does he do it? He does it in order to destroy the other person's name and reputation and make himself look better. He wants to hurt the other person. And yet all the while, in his sin, he approves of what he does because according to him, he's just simply speaking the truth. There's no lie in it. I'm speaking the truth. God condemns that as sin. There's no love there for the other person. No love at all. The Catechism goes on that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. That's very serious in a court of law, but I think we can be guilty of that more easily than we realize. We judge each other rashly. Someone walks by me in the narthex after church and doesn't say hi, but simply ignores me, maybe has his head down and simply leaves. And I immediately make the judgment, that person was rude. That person obviously thinks he's better than me. And then we find out a little later, after we made that rash judgment, we find out that person was simply going through a pretty tough time in his life and didn't feel like talking to anyone at the moment. But I judged him and I condemned him. And even made his pain perhaps even more. Or maybe that person was just concerned about social distancing and didn't want to breathe in the air from everyone else. But I judged him and condemned him. The fact is, do you know everything that's going on? Do you know the whole story? If you don't know the whole story, then you can't make a judgment as you do know the whole story. And the fact is, we need to recognize this too. Sometimes it's not my responsibility to see to it that I know the whole story. Sometimes I just have to be content with what I have been given to know and what the Lord in His wisdom has given me to know and act accordingly. Not judging rashly, but just based on what I know. And then the Catechism goes on and says, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil. I avoid all lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil. These sins and more are sins against the ninth commandment, and they are murderous. Proverbs 26, verse 22 says so much. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They are murderous. This brings us to a question that needs to be faced. And the question is, why? Why should we avoid all lies and deceit? And ultimately the question is, what's the heart of the issue? Why are lies sinful? What's so sinful about manipulation? What's so sinful about gossip and whisperings and backbiting? And ultimately, why does lying take place? What explains lying? And what I want to emphasize this morning is this. When you lie, when you deceive, when you manipulate and trick and hurt with your words, when you gossip and you put others down and filthy communication comes out of your mouth, the reality is this. It is hatred. It is an attack of hatred. And it goes back ultimately to our relationship with God and our relationship to truth itself. God who is truth. What we need to recognize is that we all have a relationship to truth. We all have a relationship to truth. What is truth? Truth is that which lines up with reality. Truth is what is real. And what is the ultimate truth? God. God is truth. God is the ultimate reality. And there are other realities as well. There's the reality that this is the word of the Lord and shall not perish. The reality is that I am sinful by nature, totally depraved. The reality is that there is a free and full salvation found in Jesus Christ. But the great reality, the great truth is God Himself. He is the great reality, and without God, there is no reality and there is no truth. We all have a relationship with God, and therefore we all have a relationship with truth. And what is lying then? Lying involves this. I make up my own truth. I make up my own reality. And instead of honoring God, submitting to God, and embracing God's truth and who God is, I turn from the worship of God and I worship the idol of self. I worship the idol of self. This way, I make up my own truth. And that's what the lie is. Putting away God's truth and trying to establish something else as truth. That's at the heart of lying. I commit idolatry. I worship an idol, and the idol so often is myself. Congregation, that's what we need to see about what's happening in the world around us, even at this present moment. You see it in so many ways. You see it when the whole topic of abortion comes up and the world has debates on when conception takes place because the world wants to redefine when conception takes place. They want to change the truth because the truth right now, according to them, doesn't serve their purposes, so they can change the truth. You see it when the whole topic of evolution comes up. And the world tries to silence the truth of which all creation speaks, that God is the creator and that God also created in a six-day literal creation. They change the truth because the truth does not fit with their idols. You see it with politics. You see it with what the media does. You see it in what is called social constructionism. People who simply say there is no truth. They're even tearing down the monuments. Removing the statutes, rewriting history, that's the attempt. They want to get rid of history altogether because if we can get rid of history, then what? then we can determine truth for ourselves. We can make up our own history, our own truth. Forget history. Truth is in the present. There are people who simply say, there is no truth. And who are they? What are they? They are atheists. They deny God. That's what they're doing when they say there's no truth. They worship themselves. You also see it with the prevalence of certain sins. Manipulation, making other people confused, brainwashing. What's the purpose? The purpose is to destroy those foundations of truth. The purpose is so that the perpetrator ultimately can be the one who holds in his hand what is true and what is not true. And when a person has that kind of position, then that person can truly act like God. What he says is the great reality. What he says must be obeyed. He's in control, and everyone else is stupid if they don't think what he thinks, because he knows what the truth is. He is the one who dictates it. Congregation, just think, isn't that exactly what the devil did in the beginning and what he does every day? The devil lied to Eve because the devil wanted to attack God and attack God's world and make up his own world with himself in the position of God. And this is what the devil still continues to do today. He wants to determine for himself and for everyone what is true. And so he lies because the truth is he is not God. But he is a wicked, miserable devil under the lordship and sovereign control of God. And he hates that. Why do we lie? Why are we sometimes prone to deceive? Ultimately, this is why we lie. It's really shameful when you think about it. Because we don't like the truth. Don't like the truth. And because I want to be the one in control of this situation. And in my foolishness, I think that's what the lie offers me. Control. I don't like the truth about who God is. I don't like the truth about who other people are. I don't like the truth about who I am. So I make up my own truth. I don't like the truth about God. Because you know what the truth is about God? The truth is that God is right and God is glorious. All the glory goes to God. None of the glory goes to me. And I don't like that. So I deny, at least right now, I deny that there is a God that will hold me accountable for this deception and lie. I don't like the truth that my neighbor perhaps is better off than I am in one way or another. So I put him down in my conversation with others. I destroy his reputation. I don't like the truth about who I am as a sinner. And that, yes, in fact, these are the sins, the offensive sins that I have committed. Why do I lie about my sin? Not just because I don't want to get into trouble. No, the struggle at the heart is this. I don't want to face the fact that I am this kind of a sinner. It's too shameful. It's too humbling for me. And I like to think of myself as better than this. There's got to be something about me that I can boast in. I'm better than what God's Word tells me I am. And I lie about all kinds of things. Because I want to make up my own reality and have the control rather than submit to the reality that God puts right before me. I don't want to submit to God or obey Him or trust Him and glorify Him. And you see, beloved, that's the proper work of the devil. That's the proper work of the devil. It's a matter of pride, a matter of idolatry, a matter of control, and a matter of hatred. Hatred against God, hatred against the neighbor, hatred against the truth of who God is and the fact that I'm not God and I resent God for His place in my life, so I lie. Why does a person stand up in a court of law and false witness so that an innocent person is thrown into prison? Or at least that he himself escapes? Because he's full of self-love and hatred. If he loved God, he would confess his sin. If he loved God, he would confess it openly and frankly. Because he knows there is forgiveness in Christ. And in the confessing of his sin, he will magnify the grace and glory of God even more. He recognizes that if he knows God, so he will confess the truth, but he doesn't. He's full of self-love. Why does a person gossip and spread shameful secrets about another person and destroy that person's reputation? Because he's full of hatred and self-love. Why does a person deceive and manipulate and twist the truth and ignore the truth? He simply ignores it. I don't want to deal with the truth. I don't even want the truth. I don't want to hear it. Because he's full of self-love and hatred. Why does a person use all kinds of filthy communication, corrupt communication, cutting other people down, mocking and ridiculing them, making them feel stupid? Because he's full of self-love and hatred for others. Those two go together, self-love and hatred for others. He wants to destroy. This is why we read from Proverbs 26. Because Proverbs 26 makes it explicit. Look at verse 24. He that hateth. Who's the one who dissembles with his mouth? Who's the one who pretends? Who's the one who plays the hypocrite, who plays dumb? He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. The word dissembleth, as I said, means to pretend to be someone you're not, to disguise yourself and hide your true feelings. Look at verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Solomon, God is emphasizing, that man who deceives, he is full of wickedness. Seven times over, the number of completion. Can't emphasize it any stronger than that. Verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. Because God hates it, he will expose it in his justice and righteousness. This is what is so devilish about the lie. Unless you know the truth, you don't know any different. That's the bondage of the lie. That's what the lie tells you. Unless you know the truth, unless you know reality, the liar can control you in whatever way he wants. That's the power of Satan, beloved. He casts you under his spell, the spell of his lies and the power of his lies. Those who are in bondage to sin, you realize that in the world, those who are in bondage to sin are held captive by the lie. It's the lie that rules them. They believe the lie, and then, of course, because of their own sinful natures, they also want to believe the lie. And they trust the lie willingly. This is where you and I need to recognize the grace of God. And the fact that God has opened our eyes and revealed the truth to us so that we know the truth. We can see clearly that the Bible is the Word of God. You test it against itself over and over again. It shows itself to be the Word of God. You see that. Belgic Confession says even the prophecies can be seen by the very blind that they're being fulfilled. We understand by faith that Jehovah God is God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And we are sinners saved by God's grace alone. We know that. We recognize that. We've been given the eyes to see. But just think. If God doesn't work that truth in your heart and opens your eyes, how do you ever come to that knowledge? Apart from God's grace, all you have is the lie, and you believe it, and that's your misery. I hope all of this impresses upon us how we should be dead set opposed to the lie and all forms of manipulation. We ourselves were those enslaved to the lie at one time. We suppressed the truth. We held it in unrighteousness. But this is God's salvation. He has brought you out of that darkness of the lie and deceit. He's brought you into the light of truth and honesty. And now in your life, are you going to go back to the lie? Only if you are filled with hatred do you find anything of value in the lie. Only if you are filled with distrust towards God do you find anything of value in the lie. Beloved, the lie is your enemy. The lie brings you into bondage. Deception is your enemy. Deceiving family members, deceiving your boss, deceiving your friends, it will ensnare you. The tool of deception is not your friend. It's your enemy. Manipulation is your enemy. Wicked flattery is your enemy. You think we can flatter to get our way? No, flattery is your enemy. God will expose it. Gossip will destroy you if you give it a chance. Cutting words will bring you into judgment with God. Not only is the lie used to bring others into bondage, the lie, this is how deceitful the lie itself is. It brings the ones who use the lie into bondage. That's the deviltry of the lie itself. What does Jesus say in John chapter 8? Jesus says, "The truth shall set you free." And congregation, this will be your experience throughout your life, that there is more truth in those words than you will ever realize. This is where we need to understand the gospel. You don't need the lie, beloved. The lie only minimizes and blocks out the gospel and the truth of who your God is and who you are in Christ. Don't lie about your sin. Don't manipulate. Don't resort to putting your trust in the lie. But humble yourself before the truth of the gospel. That although you are a great sinner, a shameful sinner, nevertheless, this is how gracious God Almighty is. He knows all your sins. He knows all your shame. And He saves you nevertheless. And He loves you unconditionally. Nevertheless, be honest with yourself. Acknowledge your transgressions. Be honest with the Lord. Be honest with each other. Confess your sins. Humble yourself before the sight of God. And speak the truth. Speak the truth of the sins you've committed. And in Jesus Christ, the truth you have in Jesus Christ will set you free from the bondage of the lie. Even if others don't forgive you, you will know that God Almighty forgives you. And that's your great reality. Be honest. God wants us to be honest. God knows when we're being honest. There's no deceiving God. And even then, when we think we're being honest, we even then have to pray this: Heavenly Father, show me my sin. For I am such a liar by nature that I will even make myself blind to my own sin. Show me my sin. Show me my deception. Show me my manipulation so that I can turn from it. I don't want to be filled with hatred. I want to be filled with love. I want to show Thee my thankfulness, O Lord. Help me Thy will to do. So my purpose in the second point of the sermon is to show you how evil the lie is and why we need to put it away from us. It's full of hatred, and it works only evil. You have Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. In Him who is the truth. And don't put your trust in the lie or deception or trickery. It's hatred, and it's bondage, and there's no joy in it. And you may think you can cover your deception, but the truth will find you out. Sooner or later. And children, if I may speak very pointedly to you right now, children, little children, give me your attention. Don't lie. Don't lie. Even if you think it can get you out of trouble, don't lie. It's the work of the devil. The work of the devil, little children. God is very angry when you lie. I read it this past week, Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. You know what the lake of fire is described as? And who it's filled with? It's filled with those who make and love the lie. That's the lake of fire. The lie will not get you out of trouble. You may think it will. That's what it promises, but it won't. The truth will set you free. Speak the truth. That is right and pleasing to the Lord. So instead of lying, which is evil, which is hatred, what is required of us? The Catechism puts it this way. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth. Don't just speak it, but I love it. I speak it uprightly and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. You see, this is the difference. If you hate, then you lie. Then you tear down. Then your mouth becomes a sewage pipe overflowing with all kinds of filth and dirty words. But if you love, then you do good. Then your words are true. Your words are honest. They are without guile. Then your words build up. Your words are a fountain of life. And then you are a blessing to those around you. Then at school, instead of mocking another student, you defend him and you stand up for him. You use your mouth to do good for the one who's being bullied. Then in the home, as a husband, you preserve the reputation of your wife in front of your children instead of attacking or belittling her. Because you love, don't you? Then in the church, you put away gossip. You speak the truth, and you speak the truth in love. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Recognize that this is what God has given you in Jesus Christ. If you are a child of God, when God saves you, God doesn't say, now shut up, be quiet, don't say anything, because nothing good ever came out of your mouth and nothing good will ever come out of your mouth. No, God says, I've transformed you. I've made you an instrument now in my hands. I've sanctified your mouth so that you, me, through you, I can edify and build up, and you can speak the truth in love. Use your mouth to bless, to give life, not to take it away, to speak truth. Don't let the words that come out of your mouth smell like rotten fish. You ever had that? You forget to brush in the morning, and you almost don't even want to talk because you know what's going to come out of your mouth is it's going to stink because of bad breath. Well, let's think about that spiritually. So I don't want to say anything unless it smells beautiful. It smells as if it's from heaven. Be a faithful witness. And that too is what this is all about. Be a faithful witness of your Savior Jesus Christ. How can anyone receive the gospel? How can anyone ever trust your witness if you're not a person clothed with honesty and truth? Congregation of all people, what we as Christians need to recognize is this. Our reality, the truth as it pertains to you and me, is glorious. Without a doubt, the truth is you are a child of God. The truth is you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the forgiveness of all your sins. You have a passage to eternal glory when you die. All things are working for your good. Don't let anyone minimize these truths. You don't need to deceive. You don't need to manipulate. You don't need to believe any lies or speak any lies. The truth is infinitely better than what any lie can give you, because you are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. So trust and do what is right. And speak truth. Live in the truth. Speak truth. Do your neighbor good. Defend and promote as much as you are able the good character of your neighbor. What have you to gain by using the lie? You already have Jesus Christ, do you not? Having Jesus Christ, you have everything, and no one can snatch it away. You can't lose any of it. This is our privilege, beloved. This is what we've been saved unto, not only to know the truth, but to live it and speak it and enjoy the truth and be those who live in the truth. To trust God, who is God, our God, and who is truth. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we have been confronted with the gospel, and it humbles us. Our fervent prayer is that we would be children of the truth indeed, speaking the truth, loving the truth, running in the truth. Write Thy law upon our hearts, Lord. Sanctify our mouths. Bless our relationships. And guard us and guide us, or guard us from the deception of the lie. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.